We asked the First Pentecostal Church in Lake Charles, Louisiana, where Brother Thornton's a pastor, quote with us a verse of Scripture we all know so well, and then make a promise. Let's quote the verse together. God is a spirit.
God is a spirit.
And they that worship Him,
must worship
Him
in spirit and in truth.
Now say these words after me. Lord,
by Your help and grace,
every time I come to church,
I'm going to worship You
in spirit
and in truth.
All right, we're going to sing it again, and everybody will clap their hands in time with the music. Thriving, going church the Lord has blessed them with. And we appreciate them. And also, we appreciate the brothers that went with us. And go to sleep tonight, I'm going to throw a song on them. No, we appreciate them taking us clear to Tupelo. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And while we're talking, I want to say something else. Brother Rutledge had found some good bargains on suits. Brother Rutledge Steen found some bargains on some suits, and he showed where they were, and I appreciate him directing that way. Brother Noel got him a nice suit, and I got me one. Isn't that nice?
You mean they look good?
And shut up. And now you better watch out, because you're going to talk about somebody. He's getting old. When they start talking out in church, they get old. And I want to thank Sister Franks for ordering this suit yesterday and today, I think it was. Sister Rutledge took the trousers over there and said, I believe that's all it needs. Just hem up the trousers. It was 41 weeks. I ain't got no 41 weeks. Not yet. So, I appreciate that, Sister Frank. God bless you. We mean this. We're glad to be here tonight. Would you just worship the Lord again? Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! One more time, let's sing.
What a great day!
Receiving a new body. And it's about a place where we'll never grow old. And it's about being able to laugh in the face of death. And I tell you, that's the greatest laugh of them all. Praise the Lord. Praise God. You know what I want to do tonight before I preach? And I'm not doing this without preaching. I don't believe it. But I do feel in my heart. I want you that are sick, you that feel that you need help with something. Maybe it could be mental pressure, it could be nervousness, it could be a problem, it could be you're trudging through a long valley, it seems like the tunnel has no end. It could be a physical impairment, but you need a touch from God tonight. I want you to come down here and stand. We're going to sing this chorus one more time. We want the Holy Ghost. Come and stand. Whatever you need, I want you to stand right here. And we preachers, I'll ask Brother Rutledge, if you will, to anoint you with oil as you go by. And we preachers will lay our hands on you. And the saints is going to help us pray. I believe God's able to. Okay? What a praise we have. Recover. If you did not have hands laid on you or didn't get anointed, you just stay up here. We're going to pray for you tonight. This is your hour. Okay.
What a friend.
Corinthians chapter 5, commencing with verse 17 and through verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 17. Praise the Lord. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, that reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing unto them their transgressions, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Amen. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For ye have made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I want to preach to you tonight on the thought entitled, It's Different Now. Everyone say, It's Different Now. Would you pray with us now? And we ask Brother Greenway to help us and pray for us tonight. Everybody pray.
Our Lord Jesus, we're grateful tonight for the wonderful privilege that we have to know what we do know about you tonight. We're thankful, Lord, that you've allowed us another time to be in the house of God, Lord, to hear the word of the Lord read to us tonight. And Lord, to have the privilege of having your word broken to us tonight, that we might receive the bread of life. Bless now, we pray, the reading of the word, the minister of the word, and our hearts to receive it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Everybody said it's different now.
It's different now.
Turn around, shake hands to somebody and say, I'm not what I used to be. Don't sit down yet. Don't sit down yet now. Don't sit down yet. Turn around, shake somebody else's hand and say, don't be afraid of me. I've got the Holy Ghost. You may be seated. Well, you know what? I still believe the Holy Ghost does make a difference. Most of us wouldn't be probably in the same room if it were not for the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Not just the coincidences of life that cause our path to cross.
Right.
But rather, we would be pursuing different interests.
Right.
Doing different things. We wouldn't be in the house of God tonight. I want to preach to you tonight about one of the greatest experiences mankind can have. Your nature changed. Absolutely, a new creature can come to live in your house. Not a remake of a reject, not a whitewash job. We're not trying to just paint the pump handle and make impure water pure. I'm speaking about the transforming power, the regenerating power, the rejuvenating power of the Holy Ghost baptism. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, you've heard it said many times, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, if I were going to start a club, if I were going to start some sort of society, if I was going to try to have a select group of people, I think I'd have the same rule. I wouldn't want any drunkards in it, or any fornicators, or any effeminate, or any liars, would you? Well, that's what God said. Know ye not all of these shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he said, and such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I believe it's different now, don't you? When we read in Titus chapter 3, of the Word of God telling us, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. You see, if I was going to start a club, I wouldn't want foolish people in it, deceived people in it, hateful people in it. I wouldn't want people to despise one another in it. But the Bible said after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy hath He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He hath shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. You see, God took those kind of people and made a church out of it. You see, God took these that were of the description I gave, drunkards, despisers, hateful, foolish, and He changed their hearts, changed their minds, changed their lives, changed their spirits, changed their attitudes, changed their character, changed their way of looking at things, changed their feelings, changed their emotions, changed their attitude, and He made a church out of it. I appreciate that, don't you? I don't think God had to create a new order of human beings to have Him a church. He took you and me out of gutters and slime and slush and quagmire and hogwalla, and He said, I can find me a church right down there if they'll just listen to my word. Oh, I'm glad an ambassador for Christ came to my house. I'm glad an ambassador for Christ stood in the pulpit. I'm glad a representative from the regal courts of infinity. I'm glad somebody that was sent of the Holy Ghost came to my town and preached to me, that I didn't have to sit there like I was, that I could rise and be changed, be born again, be a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Song said you looked at your hands and they looked new. You looked at your feet and they did too. Well, that's true. You can even love your mother-in-law when you get the Holy Ghost. It'll make you love your enemies. It'll give you a profound appreciation of life. Suddenly, the songbirds chirping means more to you than it used to. Suddenly, the rainbow colors take on a new meaning. Suddenly, a baby's smile means something more than it used to. And it gives meaning to life, the likes of which you didn't have before. You know what I want to tell you? When you receive the Holy Ghost, you actually are putting your finger on the pulse beat of eternity. For what makes life go around is the Holy Ghost. What makes this world exist is the Holy Ghost. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, the giver of life, the creator of life, is the one that comes into your soul. Hallelujah. I appreciate that. Amen. In Ephesians 4:24, it speaks of putting on the new man. In Romans 6 and verse 3 and 4, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should rise to walk in newness of life. Now, it said newness of life. It didn't say some fake, some trick, some sort of mental gymnastics, some sort of Hoover vacuum cleaner sales pitch, some tossing over, some fabrication, some false face, some plastic mask, something acting something you're not really. No, He said you can rise up and go out in newness of life. Absolutely start over. And how many of us have said many times, oh, if I could live my life over, the things I would do differently. Well, I'm telling you, when you receive the Holy Ghost, it's like a chance to start all over again. For He wipes the slate clean. Oh, things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. In the book of Colossians, we read 3:15, to the which also you're called into one body. Now in this one body, which is the church, for the Bible speaks in Ephesians 4:4, there is one body. In Romans 12 and 5, so we being many are one body in Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13, by one Spirit are we all baptized in 17 different bodies, each one having their own particular way of walking, and none of them related to the other. What you got, I can't have, and what I have, you keep your hands off. That ain't what it said, friend. It said, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. You can have the same Holy Ghost I got. I can have the same Holy Ghost you got. can mutually share the good blessings of God. So this one body, which is the church, for the Bible speaks of it that way. Ephesians 1, 22 and 3 speaks, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You know, I've got a dream of the church filling the universe. I know we're a minority. I know there's not a whole lot of us compared to the millions that are living in. And I know not too many call on the name of Jesus and got the sweet Holy Ghost. But there's coming a day when King Jesus is going to return. There's coming a day when sin's going to be put down. And the judgment of the living nations will begin. And there'll come a day when there'll be a white throne of judgment. And all these things God has in his program. And then there'll come eternity when only the righteous will inherit the new earth, when only the holy, the godly, the upright, the pure will be able to stay and live with God. You know what? The fullness of him that filleth all in all. I've got a dream. This thing's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. You're not tonight lining up with some disaster, guaranteed failure. You're not in a group of people that's spinning themselves around and around, going nowhere fast, and like a home on ice that cannot control their destiny. Friend, this church is bound for glory. This church is bound for dominion and power and rulership and kingship with Jesus Christ. This thing's going to get bigger than it ever was. Hallelujah! In the power of God. So we speak of Christ being the head of the church. In the book of Colossians 1:18 it said, and gave him to be the head of the church, which is his body. But in Colossians 1:18 it calls Christ, who is the beginning, and he's the head of the church. Now, if he's the head, 4:15 of Ephesians speaks, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now, Christ is the head of the body. The body is the church, which is his body. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into his body, or the body of Christ. Now, if it stands to reason that the head is Jesus and the body is the church, then the head wears the same name as the body. When I call your name, you bring your arms and legs with you. If you don't come. Don't you come up here, knocking on the door with no head. And don't you come knocking on the door with just a head and no body. I don't want to talk to you. You go to where the goblins and ghosts congregate, and you have yourself a time. But you know, the body comes with the head, and the head with the body. What if the head's name is Jesus? I think the body ought to be called by the same name as the head. And I'm proud to tell you, I'm called by the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. 6:15 of Galatians speaks, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. A new creature. It means literally a new creation. I'm not going to tell you that, you've got to just do the best you can. I'm telling you to positively be made over. In your heart, you can have a new heart. You can be a new person living on the inside of that flesh and body, bone and morsel of your flesh. You can be a new creature. I believe that with all my heart. I'm telling you, if any man be in Christ, everybody say, in Christ. 8:1 of Romans speaks, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ. We read 1 Corinthians 12:13, by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. Now, how do you get in Christ? Nowhere in all the Bible can you read that people believe into Christ. You can't find one verse where you can believe into Christ. But I can show you we can be baptized into Christ. You can be baptized by water, baptized by Spirit to be into Christ. That's the reason John 3:5, except a man be born again of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You've got to be born, that is baptized, with water in Jesus' name and in Spirit with the Holy Ghost to be in Jesus Christ today. Hallelujah. You can change change your life if you want to change it. Isaiah 55, verse 1 said, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Oh, isn't it wonderful you don't have to have money to have this? I tell you, isn't it wonderful you don't have to, you know, fill out a credit application? Did you ever go down when you didn't need to borrow money? Why, you get all you wanted. But when you need to borrow, you have to fill an application about this long and that wide, tell them about all your ancestors and everything, and fill out that, or they ain't going to loan it to you. Well, just think, what if the Lord did us that way before he said, I'd consider letting you pray in my altar? You don't have to fill out an application. All you've got to do is apply yourself in prayer. Apply yourself in obedience. Apply yourself in doing what God said to do. Hallelujah. In fact, I'll tell you how it is. All you got to have is an appetite. He said, everyone that's thirsty. Now, if you're not thirsty, don't come. If you're not hungry, don't come. If you don't care, don't come. But all of you're thirsty, come on tonight. He's got what you need. Did Jesus say in Matthew 5, 6, Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they may, might, it could be. And just if I'm not too busy getting back to the office to push the right buttons, you might get a blessing. That isn't what the book said. It said they shall be filled. Shall be filled. You know, the Bible tells me, in the day you seek me with all your heart, in Jeremiah 29:13, in that day you shall be found of me. You see, God requires us to seek him with all of our heart. You can't come down here and pray for the Holy Ghost with your mind on your dirty clothes at home, and your mind on your job, or the dirty dishes in the sink, or a car that won't run. You've got to forget all that. And you've got to put him first. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You see, Peter said in Acts 5:32 that we're witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. Obey him. You see, if you get up and obey him, he'll do something for you. So you've got to be thirsty. If you're really thirsty, come on to the water. If you don't have any money, well, come on anyhow. It'll be a dirty, rotten shame if we only cater to people we think's got money, or we think's got social influence, or educational influence, or ethnic influence. My God, if you don't have two pennies to rub together, come on anyhow. If you don't have a job, come on anyhow. If you owe so many payments on your car, you'll never get it paid out. Come on anyhow. If you've got to get your electricity shut off, don't worry about it. He'll still fill you the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord! And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Ye come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Who ever heard of buying something without money? Now, money is what you barter with. You got to have something to barter with. And you come to the Lord with no money, how are you going to barter? I'll tell you, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. I'm telling you, the price was paid. 1 Peter 1:18 speaks, you're not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold. 1 Corinthians 6:19 speaks that you're bought with a price. And Acts 20:28 speaks of the church of God which he had purchased with his own blood. I'm not trying to be glittering generalities, but Jesus paid it all. You can't buy the Holy Ghost, but you can have it. You can't buy forgiveness of sin, but you can have it. You can't buy peace of mind, but you can have it. You can't buy blessing, but you can have it. You can't buy the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the blessings of God, but you can have it without money and without pride. Amen. I think all of us appreciate the finer things of life, but I think again all of us would acknowledge that some of our happiest hours, we didn't have any money. Didn't have the nicest home. Didn't hardly have a car that would run. And there was a lot of bad physical things that we had to cope with. But we had sweet Jesus. And we had peace and contentment. And those are things money cannot buy. Oh, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend your money, saith Isaiah 55, for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? I see people lying up at the gambling tables or windows, and I see people staggering the bar rooms, and I see people that buy dope and shoot it in the veins and get drunk and try to trip out on some kind of drugs or to escape reality and troubles and sickness about to drive them to suicide. And they're trying to buy a moment of pleasure, trying to just somehow have a few moments that they can feel so good. But it's not bread. You wake up with a hangover and a dirty conscience, and you wake up feeling, oh, I'm still not satisfied, and there's an emptiness within, and you've spent your money for that which is not bread. Now, you that's drunk yourself silly, you that's gambled with cards and with dice, and you that's bet on everything from A to Z, you know what I'm talking. It's not there, friend. It's not. You spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not. You work hard for your money. I respect that. I really do. That's the reason I don't try to get up there and just mess around. I really try. Honestly, every time I preach, to preach from the deep of my heart, because I know you are just like me, common people, and you work hard, and you're not coming out here just for somebody to pop off and hurt your feelings and say a lot of bad things and sleep till noon. No, that ain't what we're here for. You work hard, and you want to feel something when you come out here, and you want to have something when you come out here. You don't want to spend your money for that which is not bread. You had enough of that in the world. Amen. You had enough of that out there. Amen. You're tired of spending your money for that which is not bread. Well, the Lord said, hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. Hallelujah. And let your soul delight itself in fatness. Dear God. Hallelujah. God wants you to have a fat soul. I believe that with all my heart. I wouldn't touch the other side of that with a 10-foot pole. But anyhow, God wants you to have a fat soul. He does. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Everybody say, hear, and your soul shall live. You see, your flesh may come alive with a tingling sensation of passion or of fleshly lust. But inside of you, imprisoned, is a soul that's crying out to live. That's crying out to have fellowship with its maker. That's crying out to come alive. I'm telling you something, this Holy Ghost will make your soul come alive. This Holy Ghost will make the real you come alive. This Holy Ghost will release something that's been imprisoned on the inside of you. Your soul shall live. I'm not wishing any dread disease on anybody. But if I was to die with a terminal illness, that don't worry me near as much as long as my soul's alive. But I want to have a live soul, don't you? And I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Oh, yes. Behold, I've given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knewest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Now come on, let's don't think too much of ourselves. Let's don't act like we're some great big fuddle-duddy. You know, who ever heard around the cross of anybody named Bear or Greenway or Crumb or Rutledge or Jackson, huh? Who ever heard of anybody around that? We're nobodies. We were nobodies. But he called a nation that thou knewest not. Gentiles, heathen, uncircumcised, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the commonwealth of Israel. We didn't know nothing about the promises to Abraham or to Isaac or Moses or the children, the Hebrew children in the fire. But look at us tonight, sitting in the house of God, feeling His Spirit, having His blessings, baptized in His name. I tell you, it's different now, isn't it, people? I said it's different now. Thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not. Acts 15:14, James stood up at that conference on circumcision and said, he said, Simon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Thank you, Jesus. I'm glad he's visited the Gentiles. I believe the Spirit is visiting Pine Bluff, Arkansas. I believe he's trying to take out of these Gentiles around here, the Smiths and the Jones and the Jacksons and the Greenways and the Rutledges and the Bears. I believe he's visiting the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Hallelujah. No wonder the next verse said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. You see, I'm trying to kind of stampede you tonight. I'm pushing panic buttons and ringing bells and blowing horns. And that I'm trying to tell you, you don't always have all time to seek God. You haven't got as long as you think to receive the Holy Ghost and to have revival. I'm telling you, the sun's going down. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. I'm trying to just tell you, if you want the Holy Ghost, come on, receive it tonight. If you want a new way of walking and a new way of talking and a new way of dressing and a new way of living and a new way of feeling, if you'd like to trade in some tattered, worn-out garments of sin and shame for the possibility of a robe of pure white, come on tonight. If you'd like to have fellowship with angels, come on tonight. If you'd like to go from earth to glory, come on tonight. Amen, everybody. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. You see, we're not like a lot of churches that you can just join here and keep puffing your cigarettes and dipping your snuff and chewing your tobacco and telling lies and stealing hubcaps and rolling back speedometers and singing in the choir. We don't preach that, see. We preach the wicked's got to forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. In other words, we preach you've got to do some cleaning up. Amen? We preach that if you want this rich Holy Ghost, if you want this beautiful Holy Ghost, if you want this incomparable Holy Ghost, this inimitable Holy Ghost, this incomprehensible Holy Ghost, if you would like this unfathomable Holy Ghost, if you'd like this super colossal Holy Ghost, if you'd like this wonderful, blessed, good Holy Ghost, you've got to change your way of living. But you know, it's worth it. I'd rather get drunk on the Spirit than on old Daniels anytime. I'd rather be lost in the smoke of God's fire than puff myself to death with a cigarette. I'd rather trip out on the Holy Ghost than on drugs. I'd rather dance in the Spirit than dance on a dance floor. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. Everybody say, and he will have mercy upon him. Say it again. That's a guarantee I can positively tell you tonight. If you'll come, he'll have mercy upon you. I preached about mercy. I love mercy. I really do. I thank God for mercy. I appreciate mercy. I want to tell the Lord the first thing when I see him, thank you for your mercy. I want to stand up in the midst of the angels and say, now don't look at me that way. I know why I'm here. It's by his mercy. I really appreciate the mercy of God. I'd rather have his mercy than money. I'd rather have his mercy than fame and fickle popularity. I'd rather have his mercy than my name on a marquee or in the headlines on the front page. I'd rather have the mercy of God than anything I know. I'm glad I returned. I'm glad he gave me mercy. Everybody say, for his mercy endureth forever. For his mercy endureth forever. How many of you believe God's got mercy tonight for someone that needs it? Now, do you really believe that? How many believe God will do for someone else what he has done for you? How many believe God will heal somebody else like he's healed you? How many believe God will fill someone with the Holy Ghost like he has you? Tell me then, again, for his mercy endureth forever. Well, let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God. For he will abundantly pardon. He will abundantly pardon. In other words, God won't say, well, if I have to, I guess I'll blot it out. I guess nothing else I can do. Oh, I tell you, I don't want to. I
tell you, it just tears me up to have to do it. I'll tell you, begrudgingly, I might. No, he will abundantly pardon you.
That means he wants you to go to heaven. He wants you to have the Holy Ghost, who willed all men to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2:4. It's not his will that any should perish. 2 Peter 3:9. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. John 6:37. Come unto me all ye, not half of ye, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'm telling you, he'll abundantly pardon. Did you know God wants you to go to heaven more than you want to go yourself? God wants you to have the Holy Ghost more than you want it yourself. He wants to bless you more than you even want to be blessed. He's eagerly awaiting to fill you with the Holy Ghost. You don't believe that? Start worshiping right where you're sitting. Start praising Him right where you're sitting. Start glorifying Him. He'll fill you with the Holy Ghost right there. Hallelujah! 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 He will abundantly pardon because He's merciful. Everybody say again, for His mercy endureth forever. Let me hear you say it again. Say it again. You know what I think I'm going to do? I've got to feel this in the Holy Ghost. I'm just going to use Psalms 136. I'll say my part, you say your part. And all you've got to say when I raise my hand is like you did before, for His mercy endureth forever. Let's try a trial run. And you, the choir leader, just hide your head. We're going to do something here tonight our way. All right. Everybody say,
for His mercy endureth forever. For His mercy.
You remember that now. Remember, he that helped you will help somebody else. Okay? In Psalms 136, let's see now, if I can read it right. Okay? Okay, here we go. And I remember, you do your part, I'll do mine. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord of lords. To Him who alone doeth great wonders. To Him that by wisdom stretched out the earth above the waters. To Him that made great light. The sun to rule by day. The moon and the stars to rule by night. To Him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, and brought out Israel from among them, with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, to Him which divided the Red Sea into parts, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. To Him which led His people through the wilderness. To Him which smote great kings. And slew famous kings. And gave their land for a heritage. Even a heritage unto Israel, His servant. Who remembered us in our low estate? 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 And hath redeemed us from our enemies? And hath redeemed us from our enemies? Who give food to all flesh? Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven. Praise the Lord. think that, don't you?
Yes. Yes.
Says it right here.
Hallelujah.
He will abundantly pardon. He will abundantly fill you with the Holy Ghost. He will abundantly answer your prayers. He will abundantly make a way where there is no way. I thank you for the abundant Christ. The abundant Christ. Not the stingy Scrooge, the abundant Christ. Not tighter than a bark on a tree, but the abundant Christ. The abundant Christ.
For your ways are not my ways, saith the Lord. Neither are your thoughts my thoughts. For as the rain cometh down from heaven, and the snow, rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither. You know, we'd all be in a mess running out here trying to pick up all this rain, throw it back up in the air. That'd be a hard thing to do, wouldn't it? And I've been where it snowed, and it snowed, and it snowed, and it snowed. I remember one time when I was raised, it snowed so much, I always rode my bicycle to school. And you didn't have a car, you know. And I want a car. I'm 16. And forget that business. Had a bicycle. And it snowed so much I couldn't even ride my bicycle. I had to push it through the snow. And, but, you know, you'd be hard-pressed to take the snow and throw it back up in the air. But you see, God's got a way of making the water and the snow return His way. It don't come the way He sends it down. For as the rain and descended in the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. I like that. That means you ain't going to stop it. I'm not going to stop it. God's going to have a church. Simon, on this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now remember that, 16:19 of Matthew. And angel, just get ready. There's going to be a band of redeemed people stand on the Jasper Sea and sing the song of Moses and of the Lamb. They're going to sing a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and our Father. Oh, just get ready. I'm going to have me a people. I'm going to have me a people. That's what the Lord said. My word shall not return void. This is a guaranteed success. Stay in it. Worship. Believe. This is the only way out of here that's guaranteed. Amen. Ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. You don't have to walk out of here tonight heavy, hardened, and you feel like, oh, I can't face a new day. And you can leave here with joy. Or you may have a house full of snot-nosed kids with the diarrhea, but you can still have joy. And your husband may have lost his job and they're going to turn electric off, but you can still have joy. Your car may have four flat tires and it may need a stinking old paint job to cover up something, but yeah, you can still have joy. I'm telling you, my brother, your internal spirituality is not dependent on external circumstances. You might feel bad in your body, but you can still have joy tonight. You might be under the hammer, under a heavy load, but that's not going to stop you from clapping your hands and worshiping the Lord and let Him bless you. The joy of the Lord is your strength, says Nehemiah 8 and 10. 1 Peter 1:8 said, Whom have you not seen, you love, and whom though now you see Him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of disappointment, full of discouragement, full of disillusionment. I thought that's, what's it full of? What's it full of? What's it full of? I took a peek behind the curtain and ain't nothing but glory behind that curtain. I've been to the mountaintop and looked over and ain't nothing but glory over there. I've seen the latter end of the Lord and there's nothing but glory involved in living for Him. I've read the back of the book and glory's coming, friend. This thing's full of glory.
Why, just look around. It's all over the place tonight.
Jesus said in John 16:24, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. You ought to go around here carrying a bucket half full of joy. You can have full joy. Full joy. I said full joy. You shall go out with joy and be led forward with peace. I love joy and peace. Those are twin sisters that I love. You see, Romans 14:17 said, the kingdom of God's not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy. In the Holy Ghost. That's where it's at. Not in a bar room. In the Holy Ghost. Not in popping pills. In the Holy Ghost. Not running around with someone's wife or husband, but in the Holy Ghost. Not in just going to a doctor and a psychiatrist and taking shots, but it's in the Holy Ghost. If you want help tonight, it's in the Holy Ghost. Deliverance, it's in the Holy Ghost. Salvation, it's in the Holy Ghost. Blessings, it's in the Holy Ghost. It's all in the Holy Ghost tonight. Hallelujah. Be led forth with peace. And the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. You ever heard a mountain sing? And don't lock me up. You ever heard a hill sing? And don't look at me bug-eyed. Don't look at me cock-eyed like I'm KP from the 13th floor of some sanatorium or from the 7th floor of a hospital or the boys with the white coats and the butterfly net, they're looking for me with the paddy wagon. Don't look at me that way. I've heard mountains sing. I've heard hills sing. And this Holy Ghost opens up a whole lot of things to you. Yes! Why, some people say, you come out here, you have no great big, 2,000 or 3,000. What? You not to watch this. Nobody hardly here. What? Who you think? Well, you don't know what I know. And you don't feel what I feel. And you don't have what I have. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you in the singing. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Ever see a pine tree clap his hands? Have you ever seen an oak or a redwood clap his hands? You think I'm goofy, don't you? You get out here and pray and talk in tongues and get one of them blessings that makes you jump up and chin yourself on the lights. Get one of them blessings that makes you leap these pews. And get one of them blessings that makes you drunk in the spirit, you know. I don't see you as you're drunk in the spirit. If you'll leave here today, you'll see trees clapping. Oh, that's the trouble with some of you. I don't want to hurt your feelings because I love you. But all you can see is the discouragement and the negativism and the pessimism and the defeatism and the wars and the economy turned down and political corruption and all the unrest. Why don't you let the Lord bless you so you can see trees clap their hands? Why don't you get a Holy Ghost blessing and you can hear the hills sing? I never heard Noah singing like I heard the hills when they sung out. Praise the Lord! Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. Now who wants a thorn in their front yard for an ornament? I'd rather have a fir tree than a thorn. Now, some of you were just like that before you found God. You were thorns. You just gouged everybody. Brother, you took delight in hurting people's feelings. And come home and kick the cat through the screen door. Where's my supper? Bless God, I'm boss around here, woman. I'm going to tell you, snap your attention when I walk around here. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, you was an old thorn. People hate to see you come around. But you know, after God gave you the Holy Ghost, sitting on that pew tonight is not a thorn, but a fir tree. Isn't that wonderful what the God of heaven can do? I said, isn't that wonderful what the God of heaven can do? And instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. Now who'd want a bunch of briars for an ornament in your front yard? Did you ever fall in the briars? Did you ever get stuck with the briars? It hurts. And now some of you Sallys tonight,
Some of you gals, you was like a briar patch. You just hurt everybody you come in contact with. You didn't care whose feelings you hurt or what you said or when you said it or how you said it or who you said it to. Bless God, I'm going to say it. You was like briars. People hated to get around you because every time they got around you, they got hurt. They didn't want you at the family reunions. They didn't want you at the picnics. They just rather you wouldn't even come around because you're like a big old briar patch. But instead of that briar patch tonight is a myrtle tree. And a myrtle tree in Bible lands is a tree kind of like the southern magnolia. It had a flower. They say its fragrance rivaled the rose. Now I'd rather have a magnolia tree instead of a briar patch any time. And I'd rather you sit here as a magnolia tree and a fir tree than a briar patch. Amen. And a thorn bush. I don't think God's got a church full of thorn bushes. I don't think God's got a church full of briar patches. I think He's got people that have been changed. Have been born again. Have been liberated. And I look at you tonight. Very few of us are taking beauty contests, you know. Most of us are ugly as mud fences. You just want to say amen. And most of us, you know, age is creeping on us and painting them crow's feet under our eyes. And most of us get up and go, got up and went. And most of us, we've seen better days. And so I'm not looking at you physically. That's not what I'm looking at you. So don't even think about that. When I look out there, I look at you, and, you know, there sat somebody. I didn't even know if I would have gotten church. But I almost guarantee they'd been an old briar patch. If I'd have been around them, they'd have stung me good. Brother, they'd have took great delight just gouging me good. But there they sat, a fir tree. Now, you women, wouldn't you rather for your husband be a fir tree than a thorn bush?
Yeah.
You men, wouldn't you rather your wife be a myrtle tree, which is like a magnolia tree, rather than an old briar patch?
Yeah.
Who'd want to come home and have a briar patch sitting on the kitchen seat? Who'd want a husband for an old a thorn bush? Oh, you think I'm just playing with you, don't you? I'm telling you, this is a beautiful illustration of what God can do for a man and a woman. Now, I believe this. I believe old things pass away. I believe all things have become new. I'm not messing with your mind. I believe God actually makes a new creature out of you. I believe He operates on your heart. I believe He reaches down and changes you. I believe He gives you a new way of looking out of your eyes and a new way of feeling with your heart. And you get up, you're not the man you used to be. You're not the woman you used to be. Oh, thank God it's different now. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Now you that think it's not the day to receive the Holy Ghost and it's all over, He said it wasn't going to be cut off. Now you take your scissors and cut Acts 2:38, 39. Acts 2, 4, Acts 10, 44 to 48, Acts 8, 16, 17, Acts 19, 5 and 6, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, verse 4, verse 18, verse 39. You can cut them all out of the Bible, but God said it's not going to be cut off. That means no matter who you are tonight, if you want to change, He'll change you. I don't care how many doctors you've been to. I don't care if someone says she's the back sleep of the family. She's going to die the way she is. She'll never be different. There ain't no way she can do differently. I don't believe that. You know, I've got to tell you something I got very, very high personal conviction of. Now, some of you may not want to accept this, but I'm still right and you're wrong, okay? Let's understand that before I say it, okay? Here's what I want to tell you. About 90% of troubles between a husband and his wife, 90% or more of church troubles, 90% of troubles between anybody in the human race anywhere would be solved if both parties would just get down and pray through. And I mean, even after you've got the Holy Ghost, and you let that old carnal nature rise up, and that old thorn bush starts sprouting a little bit, and that old briar bush starts putting out a little bit, and you say, oh, I ain't going to be that. I ain't going back that way. You get in the prayer room, oh, God, I don't want to go back being the nagging wife I was. Oh, God, I don't want to go back being an old gambling man, old drunkard, and ran around and spent the money on hound dogs and coon chases and possum trots. And, oh, God, I want to stay in the church. Hallelujah. I'm preaching now. Hallelujah. Oh, God. I believe if you pray through, you and your wife will get along. I believe you and your church will get along. Your members of your church will get along. God, we all need to pray through, don't we? Oh, God. That's the answer. That's the answer. That is our strong suit in Pentecost. When we start dabbling in books, 50-cent words, and in psychology and psychiatry, and mind over matter, educating the brain to control the heart, it'll never work, never will. We've lost our strong suit. Our strong suit is a born-again experience. Born-again experience. It works, it works, it works, it works. Stand on your feet and praise Him tonight. It's different now since Jesus saved my soul. It's different now since by His blood I'm whole. Well, Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me.